Morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Welcome to Devos, 10 a.m. In the morning. We've enjoyed being able to do this with you guys, and hopefully it's been a blessing to all of you as well. Hopefully everybody is safe and healthy, and we look forward to seeing everybody in person soon. So I want to share with you a little bit from John chapter 10 and some other scriptures as well. John 10 and verse 27, John 10 and 27, Jesus says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus talked about his sheep, meaning you and I, believers, being able to recognize his voice. And you know, we can see in Scripture, I'll go to a couple places here and see where the disciples, as they were ministering, were able to discern the voice of God's Spirit and to be led. In fact, Romans 8:14 tells us that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we would like to cultivate that, cultivate this hearing of the voice of God. Now, you may never hear an audible voice, per se, right? But God has a way of causing us to know. He has a way of leading us by His Spirit. And I think it's real important that we're tuned into that. We talk a lot as Horizons, Calvary Chapels, of the Word of God and spending time in the Word of God. And it's very, very important. And but sometimes if we're not careful, we want to be careful that the Christian life isn't just one big Bible study. In other words, I don't want to just check off that I read my chapters for the day, right? It's more about spending time with God, right? I think in order to be able to discern the voice of the Lord, when He's speaking to us, when He's leading us, being sensitive to the Spirit of God, when He wants us to change direction, those kind of things, as we're going to see here in a minute, it's very, very important for God being able to lead us. But I think it needs to be cultivated. It has to be cultivated. Well, how do we do that, right? Jesus said in John 5:39 and 40, He says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me, and you will not come unto me that you might have life." We want to be careful that in all of our study and our focus on the Word of God, which is vital, that we don't miss the living Word, right? That this is a relationship with God. The written Word should lead us to the living Word. And so I want to share some scriptures with you. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and we'll see that Philip here was in the midst of a revival. Persecution in Jerusalem had led the church to kind of just scatter, and Philip began sharing the gospel, and the other believers began sharing the gospel in Samaria, and people started getting saved. And if you'll remember that as all this is going on, there's miracles happening, people are getting saved, the Lord is really moving. And it says in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. And Philip yielded, submitted to God, so he arose and went. Angel said to go, I'm going to go. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet." And notice what it says next, verse 29. "Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you're reading?" And you guys, you know, probably remember the story where he shares and explains and kind of unpacks Isaiah for him. And the guy ends up getting saved and getting baptized, right? And then the Spirit moves Philip to Azotus, someplace completely different. But how was Philip able to discern the Spirit of God like that? How how did he hear the Spirit of God speaking, right? And I think it implies an intimacy with the Lord that I think it'd be good for us to cultivate. Acts chapter 10, if you'll turn over there, Acts chapter 10, we see kind of a similar thing with Peter. And Acts chapter 10, and it says that if you'll remember that the Spirit of God or an angel of God had appeared to Cornelius and told him that to call for a guy named Peter, and Peter was going to come to him and share the gospel. And Peter, when he's in Joppa, there's these men coming from Cornelius to come get him. In the meantime, Peter goes up to the roof to pray. Notice he says, the next day, verse 9 of Acts chapter 10, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now this is kind of right in the middle of the day, but he's having a prayer time right there. And then he became very hungry, verse 10, and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. Now while Peter thought about the vision that he had just seen, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And so he ends up going with the men, and Cornelius and all of his house get saved. It meant eternal life to Cornelius and his family. For him to be able to discern the Spirit of God speaking to him in this way and leading him in this way. And one of the scriptures I want to share with you, how do we cultivate this listening, this ear for the Spirit of God, right? Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1, and I think we'll get kind of a hint of it as well. As we saw Peter, notice that he was spending time with the Lord, right? It's one thing just to read, check off that you did your devotions. It's another thing to spend time with God, right? Hearing the Word of God is part of it, right? But I think there's an intimacy that needs to be cultivated with the Lord and spending time listening, developing a keen ear for the Spirit of God, right? It doesn't mean God's going to speak audibly necessary to you. The primary way, obviously, that we can hear the voice of God and the voice of the voice of God speaking to us is through His Word, right? And we should always read, I think, with pen in hand, right, in a notebook, or at least taking notes in your Bible. The Word of God is a primary way in which he speaks, right? It doesn't mean you're always going to have something you're going to write down, but at least you're telling God you're ready, right? But another way, after you've read the Word, even with the Word open, just close your eyes and just meditate on what you've read. And begin conversing with God, spending time with Him, developing an intimacy, listening, right? God has a way of causing us to know, and I think we need to be in tune with the Spirit of God for Him to be able to lead us and speak to us. Notice in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus has just said in verse 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And then John writes here in verse 9, he says, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the Word of God." That means for preaching the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So they had exiled him to Patmos. They tried to kill him. They threw him in a cauldron of boiling oil and wouldn't die miraculously, and so they exiled him. Didn't know what else to do with him, so they exiled him to Patmos, where he wrote John and the book of Revelation. But notice what he says next in verse 10. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice of a trumpet. Now, this phrase of John has always intrigued me, because there's one sense in which all of us are already, we are in the Spirit, right? By virtue of being born again. Romans 8, I want to say it's verse 9, where it says that, and you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. By the fact that the Spirit of God is in us and we've been joined to Jesus Christ, we're already in the Spirit in one sense, right? We're spiritual beings, right? But this must be speaking of something even deeper. He says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit. Notice he says, on the Lord's day. Sunday, right? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If this just meant being born again, then why would he say I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? Well, of course you are, John. You're born again. You're in the Spirit every day, right? I believe he's talking about an intimacy with God, spending time with God, listening to the Lord, asking God to fill him with his Spirit, to give wisdom, right? Probably meditating on the truth of God's Word. And it was in that context which he was in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit of God, submitting to the Spirit of God, yielding to the Spirit of God, right? And this is what I think is important for us to cultivate, right? Our time with God shouldn't just be pouring over the Word and checking off that we did it, but spending time with God as well and listening to hear the voice of God, however he chooses to reveal to us what his will is and what his heart is. Spending time talking to God, just conversing with him, right? I think one thing that is almost obvious, right, in its simplicity, is that if you're going to get to know somebody, you got to spend time with them, right? And just, done, and then walking out the door, you're not going to get to know God like you are as if you say, okay, God, reveal to me what you just read. Show me what you want me to glean from this. Lord, would you speak to me? I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to listen. I'm just going to sit silent before you. And Lord, would you just speak to my heart? As you reveal to me your will. God, I submit to you. Holy Spirit, would you fill me? And just flood my mind with knowledge of you, right? Bring revelation and wisdom of who you are and the inheritance that I have in you. All those type of things, right? And then just listen and just be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And I think it takes training. I'm not great at this, right? I'm learning, and we all are. But if we don't ever listen, if we don't ever cultivate this attempt to try to be led by the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to lead us, then we're gonna miss a lot. And so, just one thing I wanna share with you. My spiritual mentor, his name is Lieutenant Colonel Lyle Rader. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Salvation Army, and he really drove this home to me one time when he was sharing that they had had he was in the Salvation Army, and they had had a late night meeting. And they were heading home, and it was about midnight. And he said he got a stabbing jolt to his peace, right? A stabbing jolt to his peace, And he says, when you get one of those, he says, you might dismiss it, right? But he says, when it happens six or seven times, he goes, you know who it is, right? And so he had cultivated this just sensitivity to the Spirit of God, and the Lord disturbed his peace and just kind of gave him, planted in his heart, we need to go see Mrs. Gerlach. Mrs. Gerlach was a woman they had taken to some of their, picked up and taken to some of their meetings. And he went to, so he said to his wife was with him, and he said, hey, I feel like the Lord's leading us to go to Mrs. Gerlach's house, right? And she said, okay. And he said, well, if it's late and you've had a long day and it's midnight and you tell your wife, hey, I think the Lord's leading us to go to somebody else's house or whatever. And she says, okay, that's from the Lord, right? And so they went to Mrs. Gerlach's house, And he went up to the door. Again, this is late at night. And he knocks on the door. Now, he said, Mr. She lived with her dad, Mr. Gerlach. And he said, Mr. Gerlach hated preachers at high noon. And he said, this was the wrong 12, right? And so he knocks on the door, you know, and sure enough, guess who answers the door? Mr. Gerlach, right? And he says, I'm standing there just barely able to stammer out, I don't know why I'm here, right? And Mr. Gerlach, you know, he says, I'd been to the house before, and Mr. Gerlach would look at me and would look at me, and I'd stick out my hand to shake his hand, and he wouldn't even shake my hand, and he'd just look at his daughter, and he'd say, oh, your company's here, right? Hated preachers. So this guy answers the door, and he says, I don't know why I'm here. And Mr. Gerlach says, I do. For the first time in my miserable life, I've had serious thoughts of God tonight. Come on in. And so he walks in, and he says, you know, I felt like I spent 2 hours trying to talk him out of getting saved because I wanted to make sure this guy knew what he's doing. Well, the Holy Spirit had already prepared this guy. He was ready, right? And so he accepted Christ right there, you know, and he says they just had a ball, you know, that night, just fellowshipping, you know, and all that. And he left probably, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And he went home. And about 7 o'clock in the morning, he gets a phone call. And it was the guy's daughter, Mrs. Gerlach. And well, I guess it'd be Miss Gerlach. But he called, and she called, and she said, I want to thank you for coming and you know, spending time and sharing Jesus with my dad last night. She said, you know, he just had a great time. He had a blast, you know. And she said, I especially want to thank you because he didn't wake up this morning. He died in his sleep last night. And Colonel Rader pointed his finger at me, and he said, that's why it's so important to be within whispering distance of heaven. He says it can mean eternity to somebody. What had happened would have happened if he hadn't cultivated that sensitivity to the Spirit of God, if he hadn't responded when the Spirit of God told him. And one of the things he told me, he said, God should not have to shout to get your attention, to tell you to go or to stay or to move or to be quiet or to speak. And it just always stuck with me. That phrase that he shared with me is to be within whispering distance of heaven. To live within whispering distance of heaven. So that God just has to whisper and we'll go or we'll change direction or we'll move or we'll speak or we'll be quiet or whatever he wants us to do. And I think we have to cultivate that. I think we have to spend time like John. Let's make sure that every day, not just on the Lord's Day, every day we're spending time in the Spirit, worshiping God, listening to God from His Word, listening to God as we just sit silent before Him, asking God to fill us, to give us wisdom, and I believe as we learn to follow those leadings by the Spirit of God, God will lead us into some miraculous things. What are we missing now because we're not doing that? Right? So let's do it. Let's get in the Spirit and in the way that John talked about here and just cultivate that listening ear so that God can lead us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time to be in your Word. We thank you that you want us to know your will, that you want to guide us, you want to lead us, that as you said in Romans, that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we want to be good children of God. We want to hear you. As Jesus said in John 10:27, we want to know your voice. We want to be able to follow you, Lord. And so help us to be sensitive. This is going to be awkward at times, Lord, if we've not been used to doing this. But as we read the Word, let's spend some extra time, Lord, in just listening to you. Would you reward that, Lord? Lord, just lead us and glorify your name through our lives. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.